I want to talk to you about you have what you say. And I believe that somebody in here is going to be challenged and encouraged this morning because of the Word of God. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite scriptures. I've got oil all over me, excuse me. Anointing oil. It's on my glasses everywhere. Hold on. Okay. All right. We're going to look at Mark 11:23, and you know it's one of my favorite scriptures. And we've looked at it in all kind of different ways, but we're going to look at it a different way this morning. For verily I say unto you, thank you. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now this is Jesus talking to his disciples, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall, say this with me, believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we see here that those things, those words which we say or he saith shall come to pass. It hasn't come to pass yet, but he believes that they will come to pass. If they had already come to pass, he wouldn't have to believe for it. And a lot of Christians are walking by sight. They say things like, well, I can't see it, I can't feel it, so therefore I don't have it. Is that faith? No. I believe that, and some people say, well, I believe God's going to do it sometime. That's not believing, that's hoping. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night. When you're putting it out there in the future, you're saying, well, I'm hoping, I'm a believing and I'm a hoping. Well, you need to believe or you need to hope, but you need to believe and say, I believe now is the day of salvation. And the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want us to get into a right now mode. And as we've been learning on Wednesday night, when you put it out there in the future, you're not believing, you're hoping. But according to Mark 11:23, you're supposed to keep believing that those things which you say shall come to pass. When the devil whispers in your ear, and notice those words, shall come to pass. Say that. Shall come to pass. Has it happened yet? No. But what's getting ready to happen? It shall come to pass. So when the devil whispers in your ear, it's not going to work this time. You declare right back to him, according to the word of God, it shall come to pass. What shall come to pass? The things that you're believing for, according to God's word, things that you are saying that line up with his word and his will. You might be confessing, great shall be the peace of my children. But the devil comes at you and he says, they're getting worse, not better. That's when you look and you say, but it shall come to pass. I had to do that with my son, Troy. How many times did, you know, it seemed like there toward the end before he got saved, it seemed like he was getting worse. If I told you, I could tell you things that would curl your hair. I'm not kidding you. And it was amazing, you know, because I'm praying and I'm believing. And I'm telling you what, it's like I was being, you know, and others are praying and believing. My husband, my mother, others were praying. And the more I stood on the word of God and the more I spoke the word of God, it seemed like that Troy was getting worse. But you can't be moved by what you feel. You can't be moved by what you see. You have to be moved by what thus saith the word of God. And so I just kept believing. I kept speaking. I anointed his room. I went around and just spoke to those ignorant posters on his walls. I was telling somebody the other day, I didn't realize it was marijuana stuff. I had no idea. You know, I thought he was just fixing up his room. And here I come to find out, he told me just the other day, he goes, Mom, I can't believe I'm telling you this. He said, Mom, I wore a marijuana leaf on my shirt, you know. He said, you didn't know? I'm like, no. You know, for me, it was all a four-leaf clover. I don't know what it was. They used to call me Snow White because I was just like, I didn't have a clue. I was very sheltered. He said, I wore marijuana stuff on the front of my shirt. But you know what? The more that I believed God and the more that I confessed his word, and there's times when it's going to come in your face. I can't explain it to you. Come here a minute, Caleb. You stand right here, right here. Yeah, get a little closer. Agree, I'm not sure. Now, pretend for a minute like I'm the devil, and he's a Christian, and here is the problem. It's in your face. Did you see what he did? It's in your face. And so now, what can you see? What are you seeing? No. What you could do at that point is you say, in the name of Jesus, thank you. In the name of Jesus, I come, I speak to this situation. I spoke to those posters in Troy's room. I spoke to the vile music in his room. I didn't know how to make him stop doing these things. I didn't know what to do. It was bigger than me. I didn't even know what I was up against. But I knew somebody that could fix this for me. And I remember saying, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, music. I speak to you, vile posters. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I call you down in Jesus' name. When there's, my grandson taught me a lesson the other day, JoJo. It's always JoJo, isn't it? And he says, he's 9 years old, and he came downstairs, and he said, Mom, I've got a pain. I got a pain. And I said, so I prayed a Church of God prayer. I said, Lord bless him. Lord bless him, Lord. Just because I was busy. You know, I have things to do. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But I was just like, Lord, just touch him. Help him, Lord. And, you know, that kind of thing. And JoJo, I forget the words he said, but basically he said, well, it better kick in right now. And I realized, he called me on it. And I thought, he's right. What was I doing? So he came back through the living room, and I stopped him. I said, pain, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you. I tell you to come out of his body in the name of Jesus. And so he left, and he came back about 30 seconds later. He goes, it's gone. And then I was telling him, it's the name of Jesus. Yes. The power is in the name of Jesus. Yes. And you know what that little boy did, that little 9-year-old boy? He sat there, and he talked about how super and how powerful the name of Jesus is. Yes. Praise God. You might be confessing, you know, like I said, great shall be the peace of my children. You need to be, if your kids are heathens, you need to start believing and confessing with your mouth, great shall be the peace of my children. And if it gets worse, keep on saying it. Because as it happened for me, my son is saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he preaches the gospel. It came to pass. You may be saying, my God shall supply all my need. It shall come to pass. It may not happen right away, but you keep standing on God's word, believing and saying that, and it shall come to pass. If you're confessing, by his stripes I'm healed, but the symptoms are talking to you, you need to start saying, it shall come to pass. Yes. Symptoms will talk to you. Pain will talk to you. Fear will talk to you. And you just look and say, according to the word of God, I have stood on his word, and it shall come to pass. If you keep doing this, what's going to happen? It shall come to pass. That's how it happened. That's how it happens. Some people are full of faith, and they believe strongly. But Jesus didn't say that. Is the scripture still up here? Good. Thank you. He didn't say, if you believe strongly. He said, he shall have whatsoever he believeth. Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He didn't say, Jesus did not say, he'll have whatsoever he believeth. Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It's good to believe. You have to believe, but you have to combine your believing with your saying. As like I've said before, there's people come to, now I'm not fancy. For anybody that's visiting this morning, I just want to tell you I'm not fancy. I grew up with hunting dogs, and I remember they'd have these big ticks on them. And some Christians are like that. I'm sorry. I should be more polished in this. But there are some Christians like that. They're full of faith, like those big old hunting dog ticks, but they're not seeing any results. You could be full of faith and starve to death. You could be full of faith and die of sickness. The Bible says you shall have whatsoever you say. What have you been saying? Because whatever you've been saying, whatever you are today is what you've been saying. Good or bad. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Whose mouth? Your mother-in-law's mouth? Oh. your boss's mouth? No, your mouth. One writer put it this way: you said you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You know, let me stop right there. Athletes do that sometimes. I heard a football player talking about, we can't win. And I thought right then, you're done. Stick a fork in you, you are done. It's the truth. You said you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You said you did not have faith, and doubt rose up like a giant and bound you. You were imprisoned with your own words. Never talk failure. Never talk defeat. Never for a moment acknowledge that God's ability or power cannot put you over. If you're talking failure and defeat with your mouth, you're acknowledging that God cannot and has not put you over in this life. And that's wrong. Instead of being failure conscious, become God inside minded. What does that mean? I love this. I wish, and I'm not trying to, you know, criticize or anything, but I wish that I would have been taught this more when I was growing up. That instead of being backslide conscious, which is what was preached to me, I wish that I would have been taught this scripture right here, John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These teenagers, I am pouring it on them every Sunday. Every time I get a chance, I want to instill this in them. I know Tommy's doing it, and Tammy, they're instilling in them, because they need it. In this day and age, we all need it to know that you have the greater one. We need to say, I believe that the greater one is in me. I believe he's greater than the devil. Can I stop right there a minute and say, some people think, well, here's God and here's the devil. They're equal. Never! Do you know the Bible says that God didn't even stand up when they kicked out that choir boy, the devil? He didn't even stand up. He said, get him out. Kicked him out. They are not equal. They will never be equal. God is greater than the devil. Let me hear you say it. God is greater than the devil. Woo! Yes, he is. And I believe he's greater than any test and trial you and I might face. I believe he's greater than any storm we might face. I believe he's greater than the problems that might be confronting us. I believe he's greater than the circumstances that seem to may have you bound. I believe he's greater than any sickness or disease. I believe God is greater than anything and everything, and he dwells in my heart. Does he live in your heart? Say amen.
Amen.
We need to ask ourselves, what is the greater one doing on the inside of us? Is he just hitchhiking along in our life? No. He's in there to help you. He's in there to strengthen you. When you are confronted with temptation, everybody gets confronted with temptation. We are all tempted to sin. All of us are. And even me, Snow White, I get tempted to sin. But the Bible said, but God tells us he helps us. He is inside of us to help us. But you need to call on him, and you need to make the confession. I believe God is greater than this temptation.
Yes. Amen.
He brings us comfort. God's inside of us to bring us comfort. And God is inside of us. Some of you have been going through a tight place lately. You've been like I've said before, those water slides down at Myrtle Beach. And there's like this blue one, and I got in one, and I felt like I was going out into eternity when I went down that slide. I mean, it's like, and they tell you to cross your arms over yourself, and you're just in this tube. What was I thinking? I don't know. And I was shooting down through there, and then all of a sudden, I came out into a large, wonderful blue pool. And this is how it is for us. Sometimes you're in a tight place. Sometimes you feel like you're just all crunched in. And all of a sudden, God will bring you out into a large place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember in the Bible where it says that when Israel came out of Egypt, and they came right up to the border of Canaan's land, to a place called Kadesh Barnea, and they sent out the 12 spies to spy out the land. And 10 of those spies brought back an evil report, and 2 brought back a good report. So let me just go over this real quick. What was the evil report? It was a report of doubt. Don't hang around people who are full of doubt, even if they say they're a Christian. That's even worse.
Right.
What the world is that? You're full of doubt. You say you're a Christian. That a Christian means that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're sitting there going, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what that's going to do. You know, me and my family, we always had diabetes. We always going to have that. You know, what the world? Stop that junk. You are a child of the Most High God. You say what he says.
Yes, amen.
Don't hang around people that are doubting. It'll rub off on you. Numbers 13:32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So I'm going to break this down in Sandy version. So basically what they were saying is there's giants in there and they will eat you up. And at one point they even said they look like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight. That was their confession. They confessed what they believed. They believed they couldn't do it. They said we can't do it. And they got exactly what they said. Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report, Numbers 13 and 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able. I'm telling you, Lighthouse Ministries, you are well able to overcome any adversity, anything that's coming against you, because you have the greater one on the inside of you. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit here. I was thinking about, y'all remember, probably several months ago, I was preaching about Rahab the harlot. And so these spies came to her house, and they were spies from Israel, and they were getting ready to go in and invade Jericho, and they were spying out the land. And I like Rahab. So she hides these men because the king's men were coming. And if they found these spies, they would kill them, just like that. They would kill them dead. And so Joshua 2 and 8 says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Well, how can this harlot know that God has given them the land, and that first whole generation out in the wilderness never did figure it out? Get it? I'm telling you, this harlot said, I know that God has given you this land. But that whole first generation never figured it out except for Caleb and Joshua. And that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, of what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. He is God all by himself. He is, hallelujah, he is still Jehovah God. He is God, Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is our peace. He is with us. He walks with you. When you walk in McDonald's, God has just walked in McDonald's. Hallelujah. He is God. He is still God. And today in 2012, he is still Almighty God, and he's getting ready to send his son back to this earth to get us and to take us home to be with him forever. I walk around saying that. I walk around saying, if anybody has ever tapped into my house, I don't know what they would think, but I don't care. I walk around saying, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! So all those years ago when the Israelites were shaking in their boots after spying out the land, come to find out their enemies were scared to death of them, to the point that she said, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. So she was basically reminding them who they served. And what does that mean to us today? When you're facing the giants of your life, don't have a negative confession. Just bite your mouth. If you start saying, I don't know what we're going to do. When God, when, oh God, what are we going to do? Some way, somehow. Some way, somehow, God's going to do it. Stop it. Don't do that. If I hear it, I'll tell you. Just start saying, oh, there's been so many times I've had the, and please don't think I'm exalting myself, because trust me, I have my own battles. But there are times when this thing comes against me, and, you know, we're human. We want to say, what am I going to do? Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And I want to call somebody, you know, instead of running to the throne, you want to run to the phone, like Joy says, you know, you want to just, you know, you want somebody to feel sorry for you. But you know what? The best thing you do is keep your mouth shut until you can get into the Word of God, find out what the Word says about your situation, and then start talking it. Yes. And it'll change. It will change up everything. If you'll start believing right, thinking right, and talking right, it won't be long until you're going to start feeling right. You must release your faith. In other words, you can have what you say. Your faith can move mountains for you in Jesus' name. And I believe, and I'm finishing right here, I believe that we have some mountain-moving, giant-killing believers in here this morning. And I encourage you this morning to, this week, light up your words with the Word of God. If the only word you know in the Bible is Jesus wept, then go say that. Because the Bible is the only book you have that is alive. And when you read it, it goes into you. When you speak it, you're releasing your faith. Amen. And mountains move. Yes. Mountains move. When you say, well, I'm not the strongest Christian in the church, Sister Pastor. You know what? It doesn't matter. When a blood-bought child of God, the weakest Christian in here, gets on your knees and says the name of Jesus, hell trembles. Yes. When you say the name of Jesus. Everyone stand, please. I want everyone to stand. Close your eyes. No moving around right now. No leaving. This is God's time. God has already done a work in here this morning. But I want to give this an opportunity. If there's someone here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know this one you're talking about. I don't know this one named Jesus that you're talking about. I don't know God. I've been living in sin, and my life's a mess. Oh, I've got good news for you. If your life is a mess, you've come to the right place, because Jesus, he knows how to fix messes. And if there's anyone here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I want to meet this one named Jesus. Well, I would like to tell you, I'd like to introduce you. I would love to introduce you to the King of Kings this morning. If that's you, and you would like to meet Jesus this morning, or you would like to rededicate your life to him, raise your hand, and we'll pray for you. Yes, yes, I see these hands. Anyone else? You're saying, Pastor, I need this one. I need the greater one. I need him in my life every day. And maybe you were serving the Lord, but you kind of stepped away from him. It happens. It happens sometimes, but it don't have to happen. And I encourage you this morning to get back up by the fire. I encourage you to come to the Lord this morning and just say, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I rededicate my life to you. And I choose to serve you for the rest of my life. And will he hear you? Absolutely. Yes, he loves you. He's not forsaken you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, I need prayer this morning. I want to ask the Lord into my life this morning. Is there anyone else? Yes. Is there anyone here and you need prayer for anything else? You need prayer for your body. You need prayer for your finances. Whatever. I want you to know these altars are open. And we will pray and we will come in agreement with you. Those of you that have your hands up, come on up here right now if you would. And I need some prayer warriors to come.